Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Karen Loomis, Rick Alcantara, and Dr. Bob Choate. I would like to talk about how do you communicate bad news? Karen, can you kick us off?
So I just had this occur in my business world a couple weeks ago, maybe within the last month, where I was working on a project as a freelancer, and I just knew the team that had been put together, it just wasn't going to work. And I finally got to the point where I went, I got to walk away from this project. But if I walk away from this project, I don't want it to impact future projects with this agency that I'm working for, right? So I had to find a way to deliver this news, which to them would be bad news. And it was kind of bad news to me as well. But the way I chose to deliver it was not to go and attack people. I just looked at it from the perspective of this team is not built for success. It's not going to improve. I've got to walk away. I also knew that the project was in a place where I could walk away from and it would be okay. But I think that when you have to deliver bad news, you have to stay away from the personal attacks, because the minute you do that, you put people on the defensive and the message gets completely lost.
And I tend to look at this from a corporate standpoint and think of it two ways. One is internally, do you create a culture that punishes people for making mistakes? Mm-hmm. And if they make mistakes, they're going to hide it. They're going to do anything they can so they don't admit it. So people will just kind of move away from it, and they won't trust that you're going to just resolve the issue without punishing them. The other side is more the public side. When a company makes a mistake that causes harm to hundreds or thousands of individuals. A prime example, if you remember years ago, United Airlines, when they actually, you know, they overbooked the flight. And they'd ask people to, you know, please leave the plane, like four or five people, so they can accommodate a couple of their flight staff who had to get to their destination. And one passenger didn't want to go, so they physically dragged him off the airplane. And then in their apology, they basically said, "We apologize for having to reaccommodate that passenger." Well, that's terrible. Whereas on the other hand, you look at the other side. If you remember a few years ago, not far from here in Philadelphia, Starbucks had an incident where they called the police on some individuals who had not purchased any product. And that created a big stir. And Starbucks reacted immediately and basically addressed the problem, apologized for the problem, got out in front of it. So it really comes down to being honest, to being truthful, to being timely. And most importantly, it's being sincere. Because I think people can see right through corporate speak if that's how you deliver your apology.
Yeah, I had an incident when I was running my advertising marketing firm back in the 90s, and had an employee that made a mistake. It cost me a lot of money at the time. But instead of punishing the employee, I asked him, what did you learn? What did you learn from this, and how can you grow? And I said, I'm just taking this as a monetary growth. So instead of, like a lot of companies would have done, probably fire the person or something like that.
So are we saying in some cases when it's bad news, you have the opportunity to invite someone to kind of figure it out themselves and to learn how to grow and do that? Rick, you're saying get out in front of it. Karen, you're saying be very honest. How do you deal with your own internal angst about delivering bad news? I think that's the hardest part about delivering bad news, is the angst that comes with it.
Well, in a corporate setting, it comes down to your culture. It comes down to, you know, are you adhering to your values? Are you aligning what you're saying with your mission? You know, in a crisis situation, one of the first things to do is admit it when you made a mistake. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies are really reticent to admit anything because they're afraid of litigation. But whereas you may salvage the company bottom line, you may not have a brand, afterwards after this whole thing unfolds. So it really comes down to, did I make a mistake? Yes. Here's what happened. Here's why, what's going on. Here's how we're going to fix it. And that's what a lot of people are looking for. A lot of things people can be forgiving, but they want to know that you acknowledge it and that you are going to do something about it.
I know that when I'm on the receiving end of bad news, I can sniff that the minute somebody walks in a room. So for me, the minute somebody has that where I feel like I'm getting ready to receive bad news, I have to, kind of like what you're saying, Robin, check my own anxiety and to truly find the truth in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that can be very difficult to do. And that's where the being silent really helps, because you just have to, I mean, when, that's the approach that I use. When I'm getting bad news delivered to me, I just have to be quiet and suck it up. Whether they're right or wrong, if I go and react to what that information is that's being delivered to me, whether it's being delivered to me properly or not, the minute I react to it, now my reaction is the issue, not whatever the original issue was.
Yeah, and regarding bad news, so when somebody delivers me bad news and I actually embrace it, I want to know where the mistakes happen. And so that I can personally correct it or have others do as well. Mm-hmm. And I used to, like, when I was younger, it was more about like, okay, what's a good news? You know, it was all about feeling good. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to the point, simply I would ask what happened, what is the bad part? And then in embracing that again, it's about growth more than anything else. And the same thing when I deliver it, I want to go from that angle as well.
I think for me, it's easy to procrastinate on giving bad news. Like, it's easy to think about, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it later. And I know, let's use the example of, let's say I put a proposal out for business to a potential client. And in the end, they chose not to work with me. Okay, that's bad news, right? Oh, sad. They didn't work with me. I would rather that they send me that email the minute they know that they've made that decision that they're not going to work with me, rather than waiting until I reach out to them a week later and say, hey, what happened to the proposal? What's the plan? What are we doing? And then they write me an email that says, oh, we're not going to work with you. I would rather they do it sooner than later, because that lets me just move on. Like, I'm not hurt. I'm not offended. Sometimes I'm not the right choice. Just let me know. And so why is it that it's so easy to procrastinate when we know you have to give the news? It's not going to go away.
Yeah, one of the challenges I think a lot of folks face, including companies, when it comes to delivering bad news, is that they may just instantly react. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth is going to be their response. And that creates an even bigger problem. So if you remember when there was the oil spill in the Gulf and the camera was on, the microphone was in front of the CEOs and asking about the incident. And he says, well, I can't wait till I get my life back. I didn't think about the thousands of businesses that were affected along the coastline and all the damage to the ocean. He was worried about his lifestyle, and that just made the problem even worse. So thinking about what you want to say and the impact it's going to have is very important.
Right. So yes. I guess a good point. There's a good balance between don't procrastinate, but also don't just spout off the first thing that comes off the top of your head.
Anything related to statistics, anything related to numbers, unless you verify them, I wouldn't throw them out there at all, because you're just guessing. And then especially if it's a thing where media is going to pick it up, you're going to hold you to it. And then it's like, well, why not? Why are the numbers changing now? You know?
But I think it kind of goes to my point that maybe people don't sniff bad news out the minute it walks in the room, but they're going to sniff bad messaging immediately. And especially when it comes to disparity between economics, between how much you make, how much they make, you know, when you're talking about the case of the, I want to get back to my life. Well, you know, I'm sure those people want to get back to their lives too.
Yeah, I think a lot of it stems down to what are you scared of? I mean, like, Dr. Robin, you talk about procrastinating. What are you scared of? Why do you hesitate in terms of that? And I have to constantly ask myself that as well, because it's that foundational part of fear that stems back from our ancestors and what drives us from stopping to doing this or that, or even accepting bad news. And when you have to deal with it in a situation like in combat and something doesn't work and you have bad news coming down or the recon info what wasn't right, I have to accept, you know, because it can get somebody killed. So in the business world, we still have those kind of inklings. We still have that kind of fear. So I wonder how that drives in terms of this messaging of delivering bad news.
Well, and that's going to have to be a conversation for another day, because that is our 10 minutes. So I'm going to have to cut us off there. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to having another one with you again soon.